Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We are gathered together to hear the words of the Lord. And so, Lord, let that light shine into our hearts and give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, today it is actually part two of obtaining God's promises, you know, through perfect obedience. And yesterday, we reviewed, several things, but mostly the story of Abraham's call to obedience. God had called Abraham to given instruction for different things. First, the call to leave his home country and go somewhere, which the Lord didn't exactly tell him, just said, well, I will, you know, lead you, I'll call you to a land that I will show you. But he didn't tell him all at first, but he obeyed. We read in the book of Hebrews that say, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was commanded, or God called him, spoke to him to leave and go. He did, even though he didn't know where he went, you know, and he sojourned and so forth, you know, for many years, just going, trying to get to somewhere. And then we also saw the ultimate test in his life. We read the story in Genesis 22, you know, when God asked him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac and told him where to go. And he went and he was ready to do it before the just in the nick of time, the angel of the Lord called unto him again and said, withhold your hand, do not do any harm to the lad. Now that I see that you are, you know, willing to be obedient to my voice and will not withhold thy son, even thy only son, from me. And that, you know, singular act, among other things, brought tremendous declaration from God to Abraham. So because you have done this, you know, I swear by myself. We see that also in Hebrews. And in blessing, I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply. There were many promises that God gave Abraham along the way up until that point. But it appears as if that perfect obedience activated those promises, to cause the promises to spring forth. And so we're talking about, you know, there may be many promises or specific promises that God has given to us through the word of God or in our lives, can activate those promises through perfect obedience. Now, obedience, there should not be any qualification of perfect obedience. Obedience should be obedience. But there's at least one story that we read in the Bible yesterday, you know, in the book of 1 Samuel, we read that about, Saul, who did not have perfect obedience. You know, we saw where he was claiming that he would have, that he had obeyed the voice of the Lord, but he didn't do everything that the Lord asked him to do. He did some of it, most of it actually, but as far as the Lord was concerned, you know, that partial obedience, well, was disobedience. So, and then, you know, he lost the throne because of that. You can read that story in 1 Samuel 15. So we spoke about these things yesterday and the dangers of disobedience or partial obedience and so forth. But today I want to go a little deeper into obtaining God's promises through perfect obedience, part two, which will be, I want to call out some specific benefits and promises that God gave, which are, you know, they have the conditions of obedience, you know. Many of the promises, even as we have spoken on this platform before, many of God's promises carry some kind of condition. I want to speak, specifically today, about the ones that are tied to obedience. Now, throughout the Old Testament, in many places, we would see where God enjoined the people to obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. I mean, there was always, that seemed like to be the theme, you know, of how God wanted to relate with the people. You know, once he got a called out people for himself, Israel, you know, he wanted to relate to them through obedience. Now, of course, we know that Abraham was way before Israel, and Jacob was a grandson to Abraham. Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, Jacob had the patriarchs. You know, but this obedience, you know, we see the blessing that came through Abraham. At the same time, there's also warnings of disobedience. We will not forget that as well. The first act of disobedience that we see in the human race was with Adam. You know, the Bible even talks about it in Romans chapter 5, you know, and talked about, you know, the disobedience of one man brought this sin into the world and death passed on everybody because of that one man's disobedience. But thanks be to God, good news, we're told that, on the other hand, the full and perfect obedience of Christ brought redemption to all. We have seen the perfect obedience of Christ and how God finally exalted him in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 9 because of his perfect obedience. And God gave him finally a name that is above every name. He had to go through a lot, you know, give up a lot, give up, you know, even, you know, he knew the essence of himself as the Son of God, but called himself Son of Man all the time, most of the time. He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was obedient unto death, even the shameful death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Hallelujah. And given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, on earth, anywhere else. He obtained that, the highest position, because of perfect obedience. So Christ, perfect role model. And even Christ from the beginning was to be the blueprint, after which, you know, God would give us grace to pattern our lives. We are told in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 that those whom God did foreknow, you know, before even the world began, he foreknew them. Just like Christ was with the Father before the world began, well, those that God also foreknew in Christ, he determined ahead of time that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. Now that is a powerful picture of what God had in mind for us. So when we see the Christ, learn from him. Jesus himself said, learn from me. I am meek and lowly and so forth. Now, Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So that was the plan from the beginning, that the final state will be that we will be like Christ, so that Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren, like he would be the blueprint. And then everybody else that God foreknew and called would be like Christ. So Christ now becomes the perfect example. But we see some others who, you know, just like us, have had to deal with the voice of God. And the voice of God, God was trying to lead them by his voice in the day. And we'll see those who benefited from obedience and those who did not. And the benefits of obedience and the dangers of disobedience. So let's get more into it. Now, we already covered the story of Abraham, but let me show you generational blessings that can even come. I love to talk about generational blessings. Some people like to talk about generational curses, but, you know, I choose to always talk about generational blessings because we are passed from the curse onto the blessing. So let's leave those curses alone. Jesus became accursed for us, and that we might deliver us from the curse of the law. And God himself said, you will no longer use this proverb that, Father, we eat sour grapes and then the edge of the teeth the teeth of the children will be set on edge. Everyone will deal with their own. God will call everyone into account. So let's leave generational curses alone. That does no longer applies to us. However, generational blessings are very important to look at. Let's read this text in Genesis chapter 26 now. We've already covered the story of Abraham. You know, I read many places from Genesis 12 all the way yesterday. Several places, all the places where God called Abraham, gave him some blessing and some promise. Now, in Genesis 26, God is now talking to Isaac. Not Abraham anymore, but now Isaac. And here's what he says to him in verses 3 of Genesis 26, verses 3 to 5. And we will see here the immediate reference to the blessing that would come to Isaac because of what Abraham did. And that's a powerful lesson for us to consider. So God would deal with Isaac here, and it will speak directly to him, but it will make reference to Abraham. The Lord said to Isaac, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And same promises he gave to Abraham. We read all this yesterday. I will give unto thee thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Same thing said to Abraham. Because, now listen, this is the key. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because of Abraham's obedience, these blessings passed on to Isaac. Isn't that powerful? And Lord says it here. The reason I'm passing this on to you is because Abraham obeyed my voice. So we're talking about obeying the voice of the Lord, as God oftentimes spoke to them and, you know, enjoined them to obey his voice. Sometimes they did, most of the time they did not. But let's talk about many promises that are tied directly to obedience. Some of these promises are popular that we already know, but I want to call out the fact that they are directly tied to obedience to the voice of the Lord. Exodus 15 and 26, which is a powerful scripture about healing and wellness. The Lord said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, that's all obedience. Yeah. Now, all his statutes, not some. So it's not partial obedience we're talking about here. And then he said, if you do all of these things, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. Now, this powerful promise, which we often quote to say, I am the Lord that healed thee, well, is premised upon keeping his commandments and obeying the voice of the Lord our God. So, powerful promise, but it's based on obeying his voice. Now, in Exodus chapter 19, we read of an amazing invitation that God extended to the children of Israel. You know, I was trying to deal with them here and curate a relationship with them. And the Lord said, and again, it's about obeying his voice. He wanted to make them a peculiar treasure. Exodus 15 was about healing and wellness. This one's about peculiar treasure and priests unto God. Now therefore, Exodus 19 and 5, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now God was calling out a people unto himself to make them a peculiar treasure. Peculiar treasure above all the people of the earth. That's what they would have been, you know, if they obeyed his voice. I mean, isn't it wonderful to be regarded as a peculiar treasure unto the Lord? But again, that hinges on obedience. If you obey my voice, hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And you know this story. These people actually said they will do it at first. But then when they actually heard, you know, what they thought was the sound of God's voice, they were scared. In the next chapter of Exodus 20, they said to Moses, we can't hear his voice. His voice is terrible. If we hear the voice, we will die. And this was the same God that said, obey my voice. How are you going to obey his voice if first you don't hear that voice? How are you going to know what to obey if you don't hear what he's saying? And then they disqualified themselves of this special invitation to become a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. You go hear from the Lord, they said, and come tell it to us, because we would die if we hear his voice. You know, if God wanted to kill them, they'd be dead already. But, you know, they thought within themselves, if God spoke to them, that they would die. Yet God said, I want to speak directly to you. I don't want to speak to you through a prophet. I want you, every one of you, to be a priest unto me, and your entire nation will be like a kingdom of priests, every one of you. But they said, we can't do it. You know, when they dismissed this invitation that God gave them and disqualified themselves, that's what made Moses to become a prophet unto them by their own mouth. They said, well, we can't do it, so you go do it and come tell it to us. You go listen to God and come tell it. So Moses then became a prophet, whereas each one of them would have been experiencing the same things that Moses experienced if they would have hearkened to the voice of the Lord. But they didn't want to hear the voice, even to start with. You know, so they disqualified themselves. What a tragedy that anyone would say, I don't want to hear the voice of God. You know, there are people to this day, many of you, many of us that are on this platform to this day, we will give anything to hear his voice all the time. But these people said, no, we don't want to hear his voice. And what a pity. They lost the right to become God's special and peculiar treasure. And they lost the right for all of them to become priests as well. Not needing anybody to go between them and God, but lost that right. That's something that they would have had, but it would have been by obedience. Obey my voice. Indeed, the Lord said unto them. Now, there are some additional blessings through obedience that we see in the scriptures. We read some portions of Deuteronomy 28 before. The first 14 verses, all about all the blessings that will come to people, but it was all, again, hinged on obeying his voice, the Lord's voice. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2 says, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, then all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And then he began to list all the blessings, including God opening his treasure upon you, pouring out his good blessings, good treasure, including making you above and not beneath, you know, ahead and not behind, heads and not tails, causing your enemies that come out against you one way to go out seven ways, blessing your bread basket and your, you know, storehouse. I mean, all these blessings, making you fruitful in your body, fruitful in the land, fruitful in this, all of these blessings, you know, because of obeying the voice of the Lord. So if you obey the voice of the Lord and hearken to the commandments which I command you this day, then the Lord will bring all these good things upon you. The same chapter, we notice, also has very grave warnings of, you know, what will happen if they disobey the Lord. And you can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 14 verses spoke about obedience, and the rest of the verses, about 54 more verses, spoke about the consequences of disobedience. That's three times as many verses as the first set that spoke about obedience, from verses 15 to the end, which is 68 verses that is in that chapter. All the remaining verses were speaking about consequences of disobedience. That's how serious this thing is. I don't even want to read all of that because it's terrible stuff that will happen to them. Number one, not only the opposite of everything that they would have gotten if they obeyed, but also even more evil, to the point where the Lord will even reject them, you know, and give them up to be tormented by, you know, troubled by their enemies and so on and so forth. Disobedience. But let's focus on the obedience part. You know, study for yourself, you know, when you have the time, the first 14 or so verses of Deuteronomy 28, and see all the blessings that the Lord called out that will happen to them if that they obeyed the voice of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient. Again, if you see many of these promises, and what is the promise here? Ye shall eat the good of the land. The promise of prosperity, abundant blessings, not only in Deuteronomy 28 that we just talked about, but also here, the good of the land, the promise of these blessings coming to you because of obedience. If you are willing to do the, you know, the word of the Lord, you commit yourself to doing it, then the Lord says you will eat the good of the land. Well, seest thou a man that desireth to eat good of the land? Well, let him be obedient to the voice of the Lord. That's it. You know, right there. There's no other way to say it. If you can be truly obedient to the voice of the Lord, then there's a blessing that the Lord will establish you and cause you to eat the good of the land. Praise the Lord. Now, it is important for us, as we go through this, you know, to receive all the things that the Lord is saying to them. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, Here comes Jeremiah reminding them of all the covenant promises of God, you know, from the days of Moses and on. He came, he said, you know, hear ye the words of this covenant. Speak unto the men of Judah, unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Now, the Lord doesn't like to put a curse on his people, but, you know, by not obeying the voice of the Lord, it will bring a curse. You know, these words that I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, saying unto them, obey my voice. Remember, we just read it in Exodus 19. Obey my voice and do them according to all that I command you. You know, you will be my people and you will be, you know, I'll be your God. This was the blessing covenant that God proposed to them, but it was based on obeying their voice. That I may perform the oath which I swore unto your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, and so on and so forth. You know? But they said they didn't do it. And the Lord told Jeremiah, remind the people, you know, proclaim all these words to them, you know, all the words that I have protested to them, their fathers rising early and sending them and doing all these things. Saying unto them, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of the evil of their hearts. Therefore will I bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them. But they did not. I'll bring the evil unto them. Huh? Deuteronomy 28 verses 15 through 68 called out all the evil that the Lord will bring upon them. And it happened to them too. But Jeremiah reminding them here that, look, obey the voice of the Lord that it may be well with you. Praise the Lord. Now, in also this same Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 7 and 23, reminded them again. He said, look, this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well with you. So that we see relationship. We can enter into a special relationship with the Lord through obeying his voice. That's right. He said, well, to the people that obey my voice, I will be their God, shall I be my people. Not everybody, but to those that obey his voice. That's right. You know, so obeying the voice of the Lord, powerful like that. You know, and long life is even promised, you know, to those that obey the voice of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33 says, you know, well, you obey the voice of the Lord. Well, say you may live long and it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And all of these things hinge on obeying the voice of the Lord. Now let's look at what does obeying the voice of the Lord actually mean? Well, in order for us to obey the voice of the Lord, seeing that, you know, we grow up in the sin nature, we have to prepare our hearts before the Lord. The references to people that prepared their hearts, because the hearts of the people were wax gross, the Bible said, you know, and, you know, so, in any generation, a few people that would prepare their hearts to, you know, walk after the Lord and to know the Lord, well, the Lord would honor them as they prepare their hearts. That was a first step, you know, prepare the heart, you know, to follow the Lord, because of all the evil that was prevalent in their days. But when they prepare their hearts to follow the Lord like that, generally there was a blessing that came. And I'm going to show you one or two places of those that actually prepared their hearts to follow the Lord. And once they prepared their heart, they were ready to take the word of God, and they did it. And there was a tremendous blessing that, you know, that followed them. There's a story. It's a story here, it's a little obscure story, but it's there nonetheless. In 2 Chronicles chapter 27, let's read verse 6, or maybe I'll read a little more to give you context. But in that place, Jotham, you know, is the one that is being written here. You know, he was one of those kings. We're told that Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem, you know, and, you know, this was a little known king. Not much is said about him, but, you know, we had kings of Judah and kings of Israel. Remember the split, you know, 10 of the nations one way and 2 another way. You know, the house of Judah, you know, for the kings that were over Judah, for the most part, they generally did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. But the kings of Israel were generally wicked. You know, so this Jotham, he ruled in Jerusalem. He was one of the good kids. He did that. His mother's name was Jerusha. Was the daughter of Zadok. You know, came from the lineage of the priests. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. You know, however, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, you know, and the people yet did corruptly. Now, he did some things, you know, built some cities, did many things, and so forth. He fought some wars, and so on and so forth. Now, in verse 6, it says, this Jotham became mighty because he prepared his heart. You know, prepared his ways, rather, before the Lord his God. Now, that's a first step to doing and obeying his voice. Now, when someone prepares their hearts, prepare your heart like that, there's some good things that are coming. We read about Ezra in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. How that Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra had prepared his heart, Ezra 7 and 10, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You know, so preparing the heart was a necessary first step to actually doing what God commands, because, you know, if your heart is waxed gross, you know, and they may not even, you know, want to hear the voice of the Lord. So first you prepare your heart, you know, to seek the law of the Lord, to find out what it is that the Lord, that God has commanded, so that you may know it in order for you to do it. And everybody starts with us preparing our heart. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's the first step. And then to do it. And then to teach the same. In Israel, teach all the statutes and judgment which he himself had first sought out and began to practice, and then to teach the same. A powerful, powerful preparation of the heart is very, very necessary in this obedience walk. Now, let's look at some promises that Jesus himself spoke about concerning obedience. I want to just skip forward to the New Testament. We covered a lot of things in the Old Testament. Let's just skip forward to the New Testament. In the book of John, Jesus spoke quite a bit about, or John captured the things that Jesus said about keeping his commandments. Well, that's obedience, you know. So a very critical lesson or text is in John chapter 14. Now, in this John chapter 14, that chapter starts out with Jesus telling them of, you know, some things to look forward to. But later on, he drops down and begins to talk about this. He starts out by saying, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. And with that I go, you know, and you know the way. And so on. Now, of course, you know, one of his disciples said, well, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? That was Thomas. And Jesus said, well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. It will do us good to remember that. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth now, you know him and you've seen him, because, you know, I'm telling you about him. Upon which Philip said, well, we have not seen the Father. What do you mean we've seen the Father? Show us the Father and it'll be sufficient. You keep on telling us about the Father. And Jesus said, well, have I been all this time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how seest thou? Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? That the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Well, he said, look, I'm going to make it easier for you. If you don't believe me because of what I say, then believe because of the works. For verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, though, the same works that I do shall he do. And greater than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Greater works in quantity, because my time is limited. And you have more time. Never greater in quality. Some folks think that we're going to do better than the Lord. You can't do it. For whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. You can't add to it or take away from it. Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15. Can't do it. It's perfect already. So, but you have more time. It gives the secret here. I said, because I go to my Father. Because my time is limited. You know, if we would have all actually, if, you know, the church would have actually obeyed his voice and do everything. They started doing it in the early church, but later some things crept in. You put it all together, you know, they would have done more than the Lord. The Lord only had 3 years and a half or so. And look at all the years that we have had. So because I go to my Father and my time is limited, you'll be able to do more, not better, but more. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You say, why? But the Lord said, you know, greater. Why are you saying not more? Well, Jesus explains it in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. He said, no disciple is greater than the master. So that's it right there. You can't be greater. You cannot. But every disciple that is perfect, either in obedience or perfect in whatever, shall be as the master. So if Jesus is the master and we are the disciples, we cannot be greater. So, you know, the word greater here is the quantity greater. Like I would say, you know, there was a woman of great substance, you know, well, a lot. What do you mean? More. What do you mean? Abundance is what it means. More in abundance because you have more time. So settle that. Pick that one in the spirit because somebody was still thinking that in their mind. But anyway, we cannot do greater in quality, you know, because you, at best you be like the master, cannot be greater than the master, but you can do more if you have more time, you know. So, but now he says in verse 15, 15. Let's get to the real meat here. If ye love me, so we see that even Jesus connects the keeping of his commandments and obedience to the loving that we claim to have for him. If you claim that you love me, show it by keeping my commandments. You can see how powerful keeping of his commandment. Jesus was talking about keeping his commandments, is the way he studied. In the Old Testament, he talked about obey my voice, obey my voice. In the New Testament, he talked about keep my commandments, keep my commandments. Same thing. Keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, well, then I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comforter and so on and so forth. Many blessings that he gives. Now let's drop down here to verse 21. Powerful stuff. He that hath my commandments. Now that means not everybody has his commandments. That's number one. Which ties back to what I was talking about in preparing your heart to seek the law of the Lord. Find out what it is that God said. Because even though it's out there, not everybody will seek it out. Not everybody will have it because they don't seek it out. They don't even know it. Their heart is gross because of, you know, the society we live in. Love of many shall wax cold because of iniquity abounding and so on. So how many people are actually seeking out the law of the Lord to do it or to know it, first of all? But he that hath it, yeah, they have prepared their hearts. They sort it out. They have it. Well, he that hath my commandments, then takes the second step. First step is to know what he said. Seek out what he said. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord. Well, just like Ezra. And then doeth them, you know, he that hath the commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Again, Jesus is stressing, as far as he's concerned, the definition of love, you say you love me, is for you to be doing what I said. How can you do what I say if you don't know what I said? So first of all, figure out what I said. That means have my commandments. Search them out. And then do them. Well, that shows you really love me. And here are the profound benefits for that. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Right? And here's what follows. He that loveth me. Now he has already defined what that means. Tying it back to obedience, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now, this is a deeper relationship with Jesus, and it's based on keeping his commandments. And I've said this before that, look, this is not John 3:16 love, which is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is a differentiated love. Because this is not for everybody. This is for those who have sought out the commandments of the Lord and are doing them. And Jesus is saying that for those people, there'll be a special love. So it's a special relationship that they will have. And furthermore, he said, you know, I will manifest myself unto him. That's a deeper revelation. Now, so one of his disciples called Judas, not the one that betrayed him, but another one, said unto him, well, why is it that you will manifest yourself unto us? Because he's now saying, well, we are the ones that have your commandments and keep them. Why is it that you manifest as yourself unto us and not to the world? I mean, well, Jesus explained it. He said, here is the reason. If a man loves me or say that they love me, then they will keep my words. And that's very important. Now, if you keep my words, then my Father will love him. Are you saying the Father will not love the one that doesn't keep his words? Well, this word love here is a reciprocal kind of word. It's not the general love that God has for everybody that caused him to give up his son for our salvation. Yeah, that's general. This is specific. You keep his words. You obey his voice. He says, I will come unto him. We'll make our abode with him. Loveth me not, will not do these things. You know, so they're not going to experience this, my coming to him. You might think of it this way. This is the way I've spoken about it in the past. I've often said that, look, there is a line that you cross or must cross that will cause Jesus to come after you. We're the ones seeking him all the time. But this time around, he's coming after the ones that whose hearts are perfect before him in obeying him. He's coming. I'm coming to you. Coming to your house. Not coming to everybody's house. You know, but I'm coming to you because, you know, there's something that's drawing him. You've crossed that line, you know, the line where the heart was hardened before the Lord. You've crossed that line. You have prepared your heart to seek the law of the Lord now. And the second line is you are actually doing it. Now that's going to draw the Lord. Psalm 42 and verse 7. That deep calls unto the deep. You got in into a place where you are doing this. It's a deep call. The Spirit of the Lord will hear it and it's coming for you. That's a special relationship and it's based on keeping his commandments. Not everybody will get this kind of relationship. But if you do it, if you keep his commandments and so forth, then you will get it. Praise the Lord. Now, there are many things that even the Gospels and the epistles teach us about obedience and doing the things that God commanded us to do. Even in a roundabout way, James was talking about it in the book of James. You know, he said, when he was talking about not just hearing the word or seeing it, but not doing it. You know, he said, look, if you are a hearer only, but not a doer of the word, you know, then, you know, you're just deceiving yourself. Listen to this. James chapter 1, you know, verse 22. Be ye therefore doers of the word. Now, that's keeping his commandments. That's obeying. That's obedience. And not errors only, because otherwise you'll be just deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer only of the word and not a doer, which means they are not obeying the word, then it's like a man that looking at his face in a mirror. He looks at his face, but goes his way and straight away forgets what manner of man he was. I mean, what is that point? What's the point of looking in the mirror if you are not going to fix what the mirror shows you that needs to be fixed? So that's it. Many of us, when we get dressed in the morning, we look in the mirror. The men straighten up their hair, straighten up that tie or whatever. The women spend, you know, quite a bit longer in front of the mirror. Seems to be their, you know, thing. And, you know, and then, but if you're looking at that mirror and it's showing you that you got to fix your mascara or your makeup or whatever, or your hair or your headgear or your tie or whatever, and you don't do it, you see it in the mirror, but you don't do it, then, you know, you're just a forgetful hearer. You are not a doer of the work. Now, but look at what he said. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now, that's keeping the commandments. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Tremendous blessings coming through obedience. I mean, even in the New Testament, he's saying it this way. So it's not only in the Old Testament, you know, it's there, you know, right? All these writers, even Jesus himself, they talk about it. Praise the Lord. Jesus said many other things. For instance, in John chapter 15, he's talking about, you know, bearing fruit or not bearing fruit. You know, well, it also has to do with, you know, bearing fruit has to do with doing the will of God, keeping his commandments. Because if you're not doing what he wants, you may be doing some other stuff. We already seen that in the story of the fig tree that was not producing. Yeah, you know, He wasn't doing what the Lord wanted, even though he was doing, but was he doing what pleased the master? Well, that tree didn't last very long. You know, so listen to this in John chapter 15. If ye keep my commandments, right? This is John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, okay, let's transpose that some other way and say, if you do not keep my commandments, then you will not abide in my love. Because, I mean, this is corollary. I mean, this opposite of what he's saying here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Remember in the earlier chapter, he said, if you keep my commandments, that's a proof that you love me. If you love me, I'm coming to you. Make my abode with you. Reveal more things to you. You know, and you'll be able to be in a closer walk with him. And here he says, well, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in that special, you know, a one-on-one relationship, even as I am doing the same with my Father now. But if you don't, well, you will miss out on that as well. You know, so in this chapter, it continues to tell us some other things. It's a new commandment, that you love one another. Now, that's another commandment. And it's called the law of Christ. In the book of Galatians, it talks about the law of Christ. You know, this is the law of Christ, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Well, how do we know, you know, that, you know, we have the love of God in our hearts? Yeah. If we keep his commandments, you know, and his commandments are not grievous. When the Lord said, you know, keep his commandments, we don't keep his commandments, then how do we can prove that we actually know him? Listen to this. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. You know, so this keeping of his commandments is even, you know, not only the proof that we love him, but the proof that we know him. If we don't, you say, well, I know God, but you don't keep his commandments, then, you know, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold water, is what John is saying here. You know, if we say we know him, listen to this. Verses 2, let me just read it from verses 3. John, 1 John 2, 3. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, or, you know, do not obey the Spirit of God. Keeping his commandments, obedience, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A liar, my goodness. You know, remember what happens to liars. Revelation 21 and verse 8. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now, he that says, I know him, but you don't keep his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, that's obedience, in him verily is the love of God perfected. This is how we prove that we love him, by doing his will, keeping his commandments. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's right. He that saith he abide in him. If you say you abide in him, well, then walk like he also walked. And this commandment was what he has given us from the beginning. God commanded us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and so forth, and to love your brother and your neighbor as yourself. Praise the Lord. And so throughout the Bible, we see God calling out the aspects of commandments. I mean, keeping his commandment, which is obedience, the blessings that come to us from doing it, even in our day-to-day lives. the benefit of obeying the voice of the Lord. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, when he puts out his sheep, they're trained to know the voice of the shepherd. It's the voice that they follow. They may not see the sheep, the shepherd, but they follow his voice. If the shepherd is leading out, say, 200 sheep or so or more, the ones that are in the rear of the company, they may not see the shepherd in the front. They just follow his voice. It is the voice that they follow. That's it. And Jesus was using that natural analogy to explain this as well. So, well, in the same way, my sheep also follow my voice. And when they hear other voices that don't sound like the voice of the shepherd, they will not follow that voice. They don't need to see the shepherd. They just need to hear the voice. And they know that voice. And when they hear that voice, when he's calling, they go in the direction of that voice. Now, they must know the voice, though. They don't know the voice. How will they know what to follow? Many voices. Same thing with us today. There are many voices, all kinds of voices. The voice of unbelief. The voice of doubt. The voice of it doesn't matter. I mean, the voice of reason. All kinds of things. And yet there's a voice of faith too. So, which voice are you going to follow? You got to know and discern his voice. If you know his voice, and you follow it. They follow me, they will not follow strangers. Here's what he says in verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And as a benefit, I give unto them eternal life. And that's it right there. That's the capstone of everything. Eternal life. I give it to them. Glory to God, because they know my voice and they follow, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Can't do it. My Father, which gave them to me, is able to protect them all, because he's greater than all. No one can pluck anything out of his hand. Glory to God. So that's a double assurance, comes from keeping his word, following, obeying his voice, knowing that voice, first of all, preparing your heart to know it and follow it. Powerful promise that he gives. And then in verse 5 of the same place, he said, a stranger will they not follow, but will follow, will flee from him. They will only follow the voice of the shepherd. When he puts out, in verse 4, a shepherd puts out his own sheep. He goes before them and they follow him because they know his voice. They may not see him, but they know that voice and they follow that voice. But they will not, some other stranger calls, they won't follow. But they don't understand and they don't know the voice of strangers. They will only follow his voice. Powerful. And it leads to eternal life. That's a powerful, promise statement from the Lord because of obedience. Now, in our everyday life, even according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, we are told that even the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey him. Acts chapter 5 verse 32 say, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. That's powerful. So you can't even get the Holy Spirit if you are not obeying him. You see, scripture says, and once we have that Holy Spirit, if we are not obeying him, he will also be grieved. Ephesians, 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Because we don't, by not obeying him. You know, so the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey him, but we must continue to obey him in order to keep that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's a fluid, constant relationship. It's not a one time you obey the Holy Spirit once and then forever you don't obey him anymore. No. If you don't obey him, you might grieve the Holy Spirit and he might just, you know, step aside. And we continue in our own ways, thinking the Holy Spirit is still there, not knowing that the glory of God has departed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 and 30. We grieve the Holy Spirit by not obeying him. The Holy Spirit is the governor of the church. Jesus said, now I go, but I give you the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you. He will guide you into all truth. He will do this, he will do that. He will show you things to come. He will testify of me, and he will, all of these things. So the Holy Spirit is the one that is here to guide us now. And if he is instructing and guiding us, and we are not paying attention or not even caring, well, pretty soon he'll be grieved, you know. And then when he's grieved, later on we might be seeking him carefully with tears, and still not getting anywhere. Because there is a time for everything, you know, a time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And these are benefits of obedience. I'm going to leave some for you to share about when we get to our shares, because there are many, many more benefits of obedience. And even in our personal lives, you know, there's anecdotal evidence of obedience that we can relate to, things that have actually happened. When the moments that you've obeyed the Lord, it may even be in small things. He gives you something, gives you instruction, and you do it, you know, find out things may work out well. You don't do it, there may be some regret. Our prayer is that, you know, as we are learning, you know, through these small things, don't try to learn with the big things that may cause you a lifelong regret. But in little things, yeah. You know, the Lord tells you something, you do it, you know, it's all good. Then he tells you the next thing. If you don't do it, well, there may be some missed step. You may have to go back and retake that lesson, so to speak. So there's something that the Lord wants you to learn, and he's showing you how to go about it, giving you instruction and strategy. You don't follow and you don't do it, you may have to go through that lesson again. Sometimes that's the reason why people go through same stuff, you know, more than once, because they haven't learned what they're supposed to learn. And, you know, it's like you're in a class, you don't pass the exam. Yeah, you got to take that class again. Why? Just pass it already and move on to the next level. But if we're not moving on, we're just going around the wilderness. Well, unfortunately, most of them died in that wilderness. May the Lord help us. We will not die in any wilderness. We're going to the promised land. But along the way, you know, obedience to the word of God. And sometimes it's called the obedience to the faith. Even the faith, we must be obedient to it. There's a call, you know, to obedience even in the things of the gospel. You know, that's it. When Jesus called his disciples, it was all based on obedience. He would just find one person, you know, in his boat and say, hey, follow me. You know, that call, simple call, because Jesus knew who to pick. But that simple call, you know, the response was obedience. They had to drop whatever they were doing, obey, and, you know, in order to respond to that call, it was obedience. When God called Abraham to leave his place where he was at and go somewhere, it was obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed. When he was called of God to go to a place that he knew not, And he obeyed. That's right. You know, that's how he did it. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, which he knew not, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's a powerful statement. We talk about faith, but it was really obedience. God called him. He knew it was God, and he just obeyed. He didn't understand it, but he obeyed anyway. You know, obey. You know, if our heart is prepared to obey the Lord, then God will give us the next instruction. You know, you obey, even if you don't understand it. You prepare your heart to do it. Abraham did not understand why God would tell him to go and kill and sacrifice his son. I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? But he obeyed anyway, even though he may not have understood it. You know, we realize later that, you know, he had faith in his heart, trusting that even if he killed the boy, God will bring him back, because this is going to be, you know, a channel of blessing. So he can't just die like that. But despite all that reasoning that may be in his heart, he didn't, you know, hesitate, not even for one moment. He just did what the Lord said. And the angel of the Lord looked at him and said, my goodness, you know, because you have obeyed my voice and you were willing to kill your son and not even spare him or kept him back from me, I now know, you know, you have proved yourself worthy to be a custodian of the covenant line. That's right. And the Lord just dumped it all on him right there. And he says, surely blessing, I will bless thee and multiply you. And all the blessings that I told him before activated in that moment of perfect obedience, passed on even to his son Isaac, and on like that, because of what Abraham did. Praise the Lord. You know, there were other times too. The flip side of this lesson is disobedience. Let's talk about that as well. You can't talk about obedience without talking about disobedience. But before, you know, I go to disobedience, let me read to you this verse as well. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, we read, whatsoever we ask, here's another blessing of obedience, whatever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Why do we receive of him whatever we ask of him? What's the reason why we might receive it? He said, because. Yeah, that's the reason. Because we keep his commandments. So obedience can actually get your prayers answered, you know, more than just about anything else. If you obey the Lord, you get what you ask from him. And what is the kind of obedience that this verse would describe? Well, it talks about keeping his commandments. I call that active obedience. Then he also talks about doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. I call that passive obedience. The Lord may not have commanded something point blank, but you know it pleases him, so you do it. The same flip side is true. You know this thing does not please the Lord. And then you stay away from it, because we exist at his pleasure. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. All things were made for him and for his pleasure. They are and were created. So, you know, anything that does not please the Father, we don't do it. And whatever we know he has commanded, we do it. That combination is powerful. Get you anything from the Lord. You can know how to walk that combination. But there is also disobedience. Disobedience, every one of us are still paying for the act of disobedience, you know, from what Adam and Eve did. Mostly Adam, because the commandment was given to him. He should have put his foot down, you know. So the transgression of Adam caused problems to pass upon everybody. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, one man was Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. All that sinned, you know, everybody. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even before the law, and so on and so forth. And well, we thank God, you know, the offense of one made many to be dead, but much more, glory to God, much more the gift of God by grace, you know, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has made many free. Glory to God. So, but that death that passed unto us was because of one man's disobedience. One man. Now, when you meet Adam later on, you can ask him, why did you do that? See all this stuff you put us through? You can call him out. Praise God. He will be there too. Adam will be there. Because he was the son of God. According to Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, Adam was the son of God. So he'll be there. You know, but, you know, his disobedience gave us a lot of problems. Till this day, if you're sick in your body, you're experiencing pain, you're experiencing loss and whatever that is not wholesome that's going on in our lives, you can trace it back to the disobedience of one man. I mean, you can see how horrible this disobedience was. They should have just stayed with the word of God. The instruction was clear, and God gave them a choice. So obedience and disobedience, those are also about choices. The Lord said, of all the trees and everything that's in the garden, you may freely eat, but of this one, stay away from it. The day that you eat of it, you should die. That's right. Very simple. And they stayed away from it for a while until Eve was beguiled. But Adam, he had a choice, you know, and, but here we are till today. And God put the blame on Adam, really. You know, because he got the instruction. And disobedience of one man brought all this problem into the world. Now, thanks be unto God, the obedience of one man, also Christ, turned all of that around. For as by one man's disobedience, listen to this, Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that one man was Adam, so the obedience of one, by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. So we thank God for the grace that came to us through Christ. But obedience and disobedience, they must be taught side by side. You've seen all the benefits of obedience, but you also see all the warnings and dangers and, you know, trouble that disobedience will bring. The best place to compare them side by side is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Like I said before, first 14 verses lay out the benefits of obedience. The remaining 54 verses lay out the problems, the judgment that will come because of disobedience. That's how powerful it is. Three times as many verses of scripture for disobedience as they were for obedience. Now, disobedience of one man also called Saul, which he thought, this is also another subtle lesson. When we think that we have done what God said just because we did part of it, you know, but didn't do everything. So Saul was that man. His story was there in the scriptures for that lesson. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God gave instruction to go and wipe out the Amalekites, you know, and he didn't do all of it. He did most of it. Save the king, save some of, you know, some stuff, you know, which God said, destroy them all, man and beast and everything. And when Samuel came to challenge him, he said, well, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have done what he said. But you know, Samuel said, but you did not. You know, God is not interested in partial obedience. Partial obedience is the same as disobedience. It cost this man the throne. The Lord said, because you have disobeyed my voice. He thought actually that he obeyed the voice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we may be victims or prone to partial obedience in many ways. You know, many, many ways. I mean, don't single out Saul and call him out. Let's call ourselves out. You know, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. There are many ways where we don't obey the Lord, but thought we did. Because, you know, if you don't do it exactly like he said, you do part of it and you think you've done it, you haven't done it. That lesson is very clear in this story of Saul. So let's examine ourselves. Think of your daily lives. The Holy Spirit said, do this and do that and do the other. Gives you three things and you do two of them and you say, well, but I did it. No, you haven't, because you only did two out of three. You know, so, but mostly the way the Holy Spirit will deal with us today, you know, he'll give you one instruction. The instruction may have several aspects, but one instruction. If you do that one, cool. Then you get the next instruction. You know, because he that is faithful in that which is least, he'll be given more to do. If he gives you one thing to do and you can't even do that right, well, then you're not going to get the next level. So obedience is very important. Even the lesson of the parables, it was also obedience. You know, one way or another. Hey, take these things and occupy it till I come. Go trade with them or do something. I mean, they were given instructions. Delivered unto them his goods to do something. Two of them obeyed. The third one did not obey. He said, I was afraid. So we see that fear, you know, sometimes causes people not to do the right thing. The right thing is always doing what God said, not what we think, not what the world or society thinks, but what God said. But we must obey the Lord. And if you obey his voice, indeed, many, many blessings. So I'm going to leave this lesson here today because I want to get reactions. So I want to leave time for that. And I'd like people to engage in calling out situations of obedience and situations of disobedience, even partial obedience, as we've seen in the case of Saul, cost him the throne. Wow. You know, so now, not that God says that we are perfect, but he wants us to be perfect. In summary, today's lesson, which is part two, part one was yesterday. It's about perfect obedience. And as I said before, we would not even use the qualifier perfect. Obedience would be obedience, except that we saw this story of Saul, where he wasn't perfect in his obedience, but he thought he was, but he wasn't. So obedience is either obedience or it is not. And we must do our due diligence to keep the word of God 100%. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 talks about the weapons of our warfare. We can use those weapons, pull down strongholds, do all these other things, cast down imaginations, bring thoughts to the obedience of Christ, avenge all disobedience. But what's the secret? It says, when your own obedience is fulfilled. That is so powerful. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. Your own, having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. That's a powerful enabler for the power with God to war a good warfare. Obedience. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray now and then we'll have more time to discuss. Father, I thank you, Lord. Again, the word of God encouraging us, looking at these wonderful promises, even eternal life. So they shall never perish. I will give unto them eternal life. No one can pluck them out of my hand, coming due to obeying his voice. Teach us, Lord, how to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you for the benefits that we see. Thank you for also the caution, the dangers that we have heard of disobeying the word of God, thinking we've done it when we haven't done it fully. Give us an understanding, Lord, for it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Give us that understanding, Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory and the promise of obedience. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him too. Come and manifest myself unto him. We want to experience that, Lord. Teach us to walk in obedience, that we may experience that closer relationship with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.